time. Over the middle, intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20, needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time, Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up, deep ball down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. As the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you for the next hour here.
It's time for Big...
Yeah, it is time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. We welcome you. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. That's the phone number to get in on the show. Also, all things social media. We monitor social media throughout the show, and you can find us on Twitter at Giants. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. It's just an easy way for us to stay on top of your tweets and share them, whether it's questions or comments on the show. This is the first opportunity that Paul Dottino and I have had to talk about last week's game. As we know, the Giants, they did lose to the Dallas Cowboys 24-21. So first and foremost, Paul, your thoughts on the game?
Well, you know, Anita, this was another case where the Giants did everything they could do to shoot themselves in the foot. Now, I understand Tony Romo was 6 of 9 on the final game-winning drive, and that's great, and he deserves credit for that. He certainly got them into field goal range, and they were able to execute and win the game. But 11 penalties by the Giants, not good. 1 of 3 in the red zone, not good. Victor Cruz gets a ball ripped away from him when he's fighting for an extra inch when I don't understand why. He just easily could have gone down or gone out of bounds, and he's fighting for one extra inch, and the ball gets ripped out in return for a touchdown. Not good. Disappointing. But I will say this. They did play. They played hard. They screwed up a lot, but they came to play. And they gave us a buzz game, which I didn't think we were going to get a month ago. So, move on from here. They've got a bunch of winnable games of the final 5. I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think anybody really does. But they do have some winnable games here in the final 5, and at least they could make it somewhat interesting. And quite frankly, I think Terrell Thomas was right the other day when he said, it would have been very easy for us to fold up at 0-6. Why should we fold up now? We're going to play hard, and we're going to try to win and get to 9-7 and at least have a winning season. I agree with him.
Well, two things here. Number one, looking back again to that loss, 24-21 to the Dallas Cowboys, Giants were still in it, tied up at 21 with about 4 minutes and 45 seconds left. As we know, Tony Romo was not your typical Tony Romo, and he was actually able to move his team down the field, which – again, in looking at the style and the way that he did it, Paul, even his head coach doesn't trust him. I mean, in certain game situations like this, Jason Garrett typically runs the football. That's not how they were able to move down the field. They were able to move down the field by passing the ball. Now, you had Trumaine McBride who was out. Roll was out of position.
Right.
Tuck came out after the game and said he was surprised that the Giants played coverage instead of pressuring Tony Romo. Are you disappointed in the style of defense that the Giants executed in that last drive? Do you feel that the style of defense the Giants played is the reason why we didn't see the typical Tony Romo, who we know always falters at the end of games?
Well, the only thing I would say to that is, if you watch that final drive play by play by play, and as you know, I always chart the number of down linemen and the number of pressures coming after the quarterback, the Giants did mix up their pressure package during that final drive. They did not just sit down with 3 linemen and then play everybody deep in a zone. That was not the case. They did mix it up. They sent 3. They sent 4. They sent 5. They sent 6. They mixed up their defensive scheme on virtually every play during that drive. Now, what I did not see, and I'm going to tell you flat out, Anita, I don't know because I did not get a chance to talk to Roll right after the game. Nor did I get a chance to talk to Perry Fuel. We don't get to do that until Thursdays. roll on two of the completions that he allowed during that final drive was really off the receiver. I mean, he was given a lot of cushion. And quite frankly, in that situation, I would probably want to jam guys at the line as much as I possibly could, not to let them off the line of scrimmage, and to try to disrupt whatever passing game Romo was trying to utilize. That would have been my preference. Now, was he told to do that and didn't do it? Did he poorly execute? I don't have the answer to that. I do know that Roll hadn't played the slot corner spot in a year, and they had to throw him in there because of the injury to McBride. So what happened? What went wrong? I don't know. But I will tell you this. Of Romo's six completions on the game-winning drive, four of them were targeted directly down Trell Roll. And he really only had great coverage on one of the four. Now, he's had a great season. He's probably had his best season as a Giant. On that drive, not so good.
201-939-4513. So now the Giants, and just to comment again on what you were talking about with Terrell Thomas, and the players made themselves available. Not all of them. We're hoping to talk to Hakeem Nicks today. But you were here on Monday. I was not. I kind of read some of the comments that were made and talking about, well, you know, this team, you know, is definitely going to put their best foot forward and play these games. And but, Paul, they're out of it. You know what I mean? There's these men are only human. And
they know the math. It's not good.
Exactly. Well, it's not about yeah, I mean, they're done. There's no way that this team makes it to the playoffs. So because of that, there is one less motivational factor on the board. That's difficult. I understand what Terrell Thomas is trying to convey, and I'm sure that there are a number of guys on this team and on this roster that are going to go out and play their hardest each and every game. And the remaining schedule, by the way, at Washington, at San Diego, Seattle, at Detroit, and then against Washington. In looking at the schedule, Washington is just a complete mess. I mean, there's talks from other teams that have played against RG3 saying that he shouldn't be playing. Kirk Cousins should be the starting quarterback. I mean, it's just coaching staff, players not on the same page. I mean, the Redskins are just a mess right now.
And can I add one thing to you, to what you're just saying while you're on RG3? It was only 3 months ago we sat here in August and talked about how's this division going to shake out, and I think we both agreed the Giants and Washington might have been the two best teams going in if RG3 was healthy and if the Giants' offensive line could hold up. And what has happened? RG3 is not healthy. He looks terrible. And the Giants' offensive line is going to be undergoing its sixth starting lineup on Sunday in 12 games. I guess that kind of derailed what we thought, huh?
And then you have at San Diego. That's going to be a difficult game to play over there. Philip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers, if you did watch that game against Kansas City, pulled it out in Arrowhead. What an unbelievable feat that is. So that game frightens me. Seattle, you know what time it is there with them. And then at Detroit, at that point in time, if you look at the NFC North, that's a gridlock right now.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be back soon. They're anticipating Jay Cutler to be back week 14. So that is a must-win situation each and every week for those three teams in the NFC North. So the schedule gets more difficult, besides, of course, Washington. And on top of that, this team's really not playing for anything.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's just not a good situation.
You know the worst part about it, too, Anita? Last week, coming into this Dallas game, I think this team was more upbeat, more excited, more confident, had more pep in its step since they had, I don't know, since maybe week two against Denver, because they thought that they could compete against the Broncos, even though they threw away the opening day game against Dallas. And then since that Carolina game, when they got whacked and shut out by the Panthers, you could feel the air kind of slowly being sucked out of the balloon. And it's been that way ever since that losing streak. And then all of a sudden, last week, it was like, wow. A breath of fresh air. Somebody opened the window. There was buzz around this team again. And now it's gone. And that's too bad.
Big news, Adorama news of the day, of course, is that Jim Cordell, who started at center for seven games, here with the Giants on IR. He has a patella tendon injury in his knee. So now moving forward, Kevin Booth will be the center and James Brewer will come in and play guard. So just as Paul Dottino just communicated, another shuffle, musical chairs yet again with this offensive line. Also news today, Hakeem Nicks did not speak to the media after the game. He did not speak to the media on Monday. I'm sure there are going to be a ton of people around his locker today hoping that he does speak today. Interesting to see how this Hakeem Nicks news progresses. We will get into that in a hot second. We've got a full bank of calls and I want to get to them. So that and a lot more that we will get into, dive into, and discuss today. 201-939-4513. Paul, let's head out to our phones, and we kick it off with Jamal calling in from Albuquerque. Jamal, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Morning. Good morning to you all. And happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
You too.
Same to you.
All right. I got a few things. I know I'm first on here. I'm surprised to be the first one. Not to talk too much about the last game. I have a question about the Jacobs run. It seemed that he let up and he tried to make a juke inside and then wound up just going out of bounds. Why didn't he just steamroll this guy? And I think it was the rookie that scored earlier. Why didn't he just steamroll him into the end zone or at least get to the 1 yard line or maybe possibly score? That's one comment. That's one thing. And then just my personal thoughts. I think Hakeem Nicks is looking for his way out. He didn't show up to OTAs this summer. For whatever reason, I know he's been ailing some injuries over the past few years, but it just seemed like, you know, he's really not there this season. And then, you know what? I kind of rather just get rid of him or just move on from him if he's going to continue to give us reasons not to perform or excuses. It's unexcusable when the head coach doesn't know really the full reason why his main player is not playing. You know, you could tell Coughlin was kind of frustrated with the whole idea that Nick's not going to be there. All right, and then to move on from Dallas, look, I mean, Dallas barely beat us by a field goal. It took the last 4 minutes to beat us. The last drive was just a bad representative of our defense, what it's been looking like. And we could look at it like this for our Giants fans and Dallas fans who are listening. They barely got past a Giant, a 4-6 Giants team, or now a 4-7. And y'all did the same thing with the Minnesota Vikings. So it's not like Dallas actually destroyed us. We actually gave up the game because, like you said, our red zone offense, our green zone offense, is nowhere near to be found. I mean, we scored two field goals. Well, we should have had two touchdowns. And so basically all I'm going to say, we're a 4-7 team that they barely got away with. And I just want to make – I'm going to hit listen off and let y'all make comments on what I asked. Appreciate it.
All right, well, let's take this in reverse. I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, the NFL, and especially the NFC East, is a cesspool of mediocrity. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, it's whoever survives and comes out of the smog. And that's what's going to happen. So, you know, if you really think any team in this NFC East, although the whole conference is a mess, is really going to do much in the playoffs, you're mistaken. So, you know, whatever. That's just the way it is. I don't know I can add anything to that. Let's go backwards. Nicks, Anita and I know Nicks pretty well. And this is a guy who, over the course of his career, has always missed a game or two every season, but he has been so badly banged up. I consider him a gamer. He's a guy who usually is able to get out there on Sunday and give you what he's got, no matter how much of a percentage it is. He usually tries his damnedest to put something out there on the field. God knows, last year he went out there when he shouldn't have been playing the second half of the season and still sucked it up. He was not himself and yet took a lot of criticism, but went out there as much as he possibly could to try to help this team make the playoffs. And so now he winds up not playing on Sunday. I still don't know if that was so much him or his agent or the coaching staff. I do know that Tom Coughlin on Monday said they didn't believe that Hakeem was anywhere near 100% and that he couldn't run very well, and so he did not play. I suspect, as Anita and I will both tell you, that players tend to, especially gamers, try to camouflage or underplay their injuries a lot of times because they really, really want to get out there and they want to do whatever it is that they can do, and they don't want to give up a competitive advantage. I understand that. I suspect Nicks is hurt a little bit more than what he's leading on, and that's why he was unable to play. We're going to see how it works out this week. Brandon Jacobs. Don't know specifically about the play you're talking about. Honestly, they all kind of run together for me. So I really don't think I can address that other than to say, what do you have, 9 carries for 75 yards, including a 37-yard burst? I thought Jacobs ran hard, ran well. The team ran for 202 yards, the first time they've eclipsed 200 yards rushing in a game since 2010. And I think they should have run the ball more. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I'm surprised your comments about Hakeem Nicks. I believe that, and I don't know anything, but I believe that the reason Hakeem Nicks was inactive is because hasn't been productive. If it was just about an injury, why wouldn't he talk to the media on Sunday? If it was just about an injury, why wouldn't he talk to the media on Monday? If it's just about an injury, and when he was asked about the injury earlier in the week,
said he planned to play.
But not only that, he was uncomfortable when the media kept on asking him, well, what is it? Is it a groin? Is it your oblique? What is it? And he just really didn't want to elaborate. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Do I think that Hakeem Nicks is a little beat up? Yes. Could he have played on Sunday? Heck yeah. I think Hakeem Nicks was inactive because he's unproductive. And they wanted to see what Lewis Murphy could do. And if I'm Hakeem Nicks and it's a contract year and I've been with this organization as long as I have, I'm a little upset too. My ego's bruised. I'm hurt. I'm frustrated.
Possible. I would not put anything beyond the realm of possibility.
Again,
right
I don't
now.
Know anything. This is just my opinion. Hakeem Nicks has not spoken to the media and I have not seen him. So, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Kay in Maryland. Hey, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. I just want to make two comments. The first one is now that, you know, Giants season is almost over, can we fans know what is going on with Adrian Robinson? And the second question is after this season, offensive coordinator need to improve on the play calling. Because if you look at the last game, from the beginning of the game, Giants kicked 2 field goals. They've been doing that all season. And this is part of what came back and bite the Giants on Sunday. And me as a fan, I think that's part of the reason why we lost that game. Because if we look at those field goals, if they were a touchdown, the game would have been a different. Instead of the Giants coming from behind, I want to win the game.
Okay, let me just touch on this. And I didn't understand who he was talking about with his first question. Did you quite figure that out?
Adrian Robinson.
He's very raw. It's just that simple. And I'm not sure exactly why he's remained active on this team, because quite honestly, he's been hurt for a lot of the season, and I thought it might have been prudent to put him on injured reserve. And that's about all I can say about him, because there's not much to say. There's not much to comment on. And Kay, as far as your thoughts about the play calling, Anita and I have talked about this all year too. The Giants have had to tweak their play calling. We felt that they did that a little later in the season than they should have. And nonetheless, I do understand some of the trepidation on the coaching staff's part, because they were dealing with a banged-up offensive line. They were dealing with an unproven rushing attack. They were dealing with, obviously, a passing game that seemed a little bit disjointed. And when things aren't going exactly the way you want them to, sometimes it's hard to recreate your game plan, or sometimes even execute the one that you have originally. So where does all of that blame lie? How much of a percentage is on the game plans and the play calling, and how much of it is on the players and the injuries and circumstances? You know, you're going to have to decide that for yourself as a fan, how you want to cheer and how you want to root and how much you want to criticize. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of dominoes at play here, and it's not just that simple to point your finger at one of those elements and say that's the reason the Giants lost. It's just not quite that simple. I wish it was.
201-939-4513. 4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, full bank of calls. So, and we're only on with you till 10:30 a.m. Eastern time today. Why? Well, head coach Tom Coughlin, as always, addresses the media at 11 a.m., so we've got to get ready for that. You can tune into that right here on Giants.com or, of course, the show on MSG. And then practice. I believe they'd probably be practicing indoors today because the weather conditions here are just absolutely horrendous.
Yeah.
And then following practice, players will be made available to the media. We'll have those interviews for you up a little bit later on Giants.com. And later on today is Big Blue Hits Live, and I have Andre Brown as a guest on Big Blue Hits Live. Yes, so very excited to have Andre Brown on.
Really good.
Yes.
Boy, he has played his butt off.
So you definitely want to set your alarms. Make sure you tune in and watch that show right here on Giants.com. And also, phone lines are open throughout that show, so you could actually call in and speak with Andre Brown from 4 to about 4:15. We keep him till around 4:15. And that's the same number, 201-939-4513. Let's continue with Peter in New Jersey. Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I wanted to say that, you know, I don't know why we're still talking about the Dallas game. I mean, here it is, Wednesday. We just need to go for it. To be all, in all fairness, the caller that just called, you know, it's really funny because had we won that game, we'd be talking about, yeah, here we are going on a streak again and we're going to win the NFC East. I mean, yeah, it's a down division, but, yeah, we wouldn't be saying that had we won that game. So, and Anita, you also said something about Tony Romo not being Tony Romo. I mean, I did hear something about him having the best fourth quarter comeback rating here in the last couple of years. So, I mean, guys, let's just be fair and honest. We just not worked a good team, and we've got a lot of problems, and we need to fix those problems. And let's not discredit other teams because it really makes this organization look very unclassy when we start to grasp the excuses and time out.
I am not making excuses.
Yes,
I did
are,
not
yes,
I did not expect
bitch.
I did
yes,
not expect the Giants to win this ball game. This is not a surprise to me. But
well,
look,
let's
call a spade a spade. Tony Romo, when it comes down to the crucial moments where he has to win a ball game,
Anita.
He normally falters.
Look it up, Anita. He's won. He's got the highest rating in the
hold
in
on.
This year.
I'm going to step in here. You know how many fourth quarter and overtime
you've
wins
be
he has?
Me. His head coach elects to run the football because he doesn't trust his own quarterback.
Let's not be complete homers now.
this isn't about being
no,
a
no,
homer.
No.
This isn't about being a homer.
Hold on.
Oh, jeez.
Anita, he wants to quote a stat to us about his rating. How many fourth quarter and overtime victories does Tony Romo have? In his career, just please call. No, call it. Just answer the question.
I'm going to answer that. I'm not.
How many?
Fishing guys, you guys. Are,
how many
I'm
does he have? How many
I'm
does he have?
You guys.
How many? I know how many because I deal
game,
in facts.
If we won that game, we'd be saying.
No,
right
sir,
on,
sir. I
we'll
deal
go
in
go
facts.
Back and win this thing again.
I deal in guys, facts. Do you have facts for me? How
come
many?
On, guys.
How many? You know what the answer is? Do you know what the answer is, sir? I'm going to tell you because obviously you need an education. The answer is 11. He has 11, and he's been a starting quarterback in this league for 8 years, and he has 11. Eli Manning has 24. Okay? 11 for Tony Romo.
That's what makes – really, the ending of this game so impressive for him. This isn't about being homers. That's ridiculous.
He did something and performed very well in a spot where he usually does not. It's just that simple.
How's that being a homer?
I don't get it.
We're commending him. Let's go to Chris in Arizona. Chris, welcome.
I just want to add... That guy was kind of crazy about
okay.
his last comment.
Clearly a closet Dallas fan who just happened to get into the show. I understand.
Yeah, basically what it runs down to is the Giants, they're coming back together because now they actually have a running back that's willing to run the ball. Andre Brown, I know he had a lot of yards last game. He didn't, score a touchdown, but he did convert that two-point conversion. which shows a lot of potential for him because he really hasn't got a chance to shine. And the Giants, they haven't been known for their running game, so I think this is basically a big step for them in the next upcoming games because they realize now, oh, hey, we can actually run the ball. We don't have to depend on Eli 100% of the time. Tony Romo is pretty much, I consider, even though his stats don't reflect, probably one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well, don't go there now. Come on. You're going off the board the other way.
Not one of the worst, but I'm saying he's not as consistent as he should be as far as his stats go. I think Eli, he's coming back. He's coming back because he hasn't done that great all season, but he's realizing he has a team to work with because finally they do have a running game. And the Giants defense, another thing is that the Giants defense, they've been stepping up because they had that, six-game losing streak. If you look at their, past couple games, they've done phenomenal. I mean, as far as the way that they've been at the beginning of the season, they're stepping up. The Giants defense, they're making interceptions, they're blocking punts and everything else. So, I mean, to say that, they have a lot of work to do, yeah, they do, but still, they're a force to be reckoned with. And I think you guys know this from when they won the Super Bowl back when they beat the Patriots, because it was a Cinderella year for them.
Chris, thanks for the call. Anita, I want to bring up one thing about Andre Brown, and he's averaging nearly 5 yards a carry over the 3 weeks since he's been active after the fractured fibula had him on temporary IR. But I want to give you a number here, and maybe this is something you can address with him during your show later on. He's had 77 touches in 3 weeks. The previous 4 years he spent in the NFL, he had a combined 87 touches. This man has suddenly got the world on his shoulders. And with all the injuries he's had during the first 4 years of his career, you can't help but hold your breath and say, wow, this is great. He's become a real workhorse. He's doing a great job. He's being very productive. But, when's that other shoe going to drop? The track record says this guy cannot be put through this kind of punishment and this kind of pounding on a regular basis, or he's not going to be able to survive. I mean, that's a question that still has to be answered. And I think he has to answer that now during the final 5 weeks of the season before the Giants determine exactly what kind of deal he's going to get as a free agent when the year is over.
All right, and really quick, I'm just going to throw out a few names that did a little research prior to the show in regard to some of the other free agent running backs that are available coming into this next free agency. Maurice Jones-Drew, Darren McFadden, Ben Tate, Isaac Redman, Rashard Mendenhall, and Donald Brown. Out of those guys, obviously, Maurice Jones-Drew would be the big coup. I mean, I feel that the reason that we're seeing Maurice Jones-Drew struggles is because of the organization he plays for.
Likely very expensive.
Likely. Darren McFadden, I think, is looking for the big dollar, but considering he cannot stay healthy an entire season, you're lucky if you get Darren McFadden to play 10 games for you. He's just, for whatever reason, his body, he just cannot stay healthy. I actually like Ben Tate, and I've said this for 2 years now. I feel that Ben Tate is a number one running back on somebody else's ball club because Arian Foster, but do the Texans let him go knowing that Arian Foster is starting to deal with some deterioration and getting injured. Anyway, just thought I would throw those names out there for you.
Tate's 25 years old, 5'11", 217. Tell you what, you make a good case for him. You make a good case for him. Averaging almost 5 yards a carry in his career, too.
201-939-4513. We continue with Lynn in Columbia. Lynn, how you doing?
Okay, how are you guys? Happy Thanksgiving.
You
happy
too,
Thanksgiving
Lynn.
To you,
happy
too.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. Hey, Paul, and I mean this as a compliment. You're as smooth as Bill Mazur, but I wouldn't mind every once in a while when we get the crunch time here and everybody's frustrated if a little bit of your Pete Franklin side came out in dealing with us on the telephone. there's probably nobody else except you and I who remember listening, who remember Mazur and Pete Franklin. But you guys do a great job.
Well, appreciate that. I got a little hot with that guy before, but he just didn't want to come to the table with the facts.
Listen, I know it's not sports talk radio, but just a little bit of Pete Franklin would have been okay. Look, you were right at the beginning. Both of you alluded to this. Victor's got to hang on to that ball. I mean, he's got to hang on. I mean, I don't care if they're standing him up and punching at it and trying to rip it out. I mean, they got a history of that, Skandrick particularly. He's got to hang on to the ball.
Len, I'm not even as upset about that as I am about what was he doing fighting for the extra half an inch.
Yeah,
it's 5 minutes left in the first quarter. The Giants are near midfield, and he's going to fight for a half an inch. Why? What are you doing?
And we just had four or five real positive plays.
Exactly.
Where we were starting.
Just
to
keep moving the chains, get something going, and he's getting stood up and clawed at and punched at, and he decides he's got to fight for a half an inch. I that was not a smart play.
Listen, I want to go back to something Jamal said, first call of the day. I think he was right on with something. I know, Paul, you said you didn't remember the play, but it was first quarter, Jacobs' 35-yard run where he went down around the 5-yard line.
37.
Jamal suggested he should have turned it inside, and I think he should have. You know what we needed there, Paul? We needed a train wreck. We needed a high-energy play. Maybe he wasn't going to get into the end zone, but we needed that stadium to erupt. We needed replays at that time showing Brandon, you know, fighting against that guy, putting his shoulder down. That's the Brandon Jacobs we all know and love. Okay, he didn't do it. You know, easy to sit in the stands or watch a television program and ask the guy to sacrifice his body. I'm not really doing that. I just wish at this point he had created some excitement in that stadium by putting his head down and trying to bowl over a guy.
Got a couple of short yardage first downs in the game on Sunday that made the stadium shake pretty good.
Yes, and you know one other thing, Paul? If teams promise to continue to try to tackle Brandon high, he's going to gain another 400 yards and score touchdowns before the year is over. I mean, and he's going to prolong his career.
I just hope his knee holds up because that's an issue.
You never could go high on the guy. I don't know. All of a sudden, teams are starting to go high again on this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to go low on him, and Brandon's going to run over. So he's going to gain more yardage. And I hope the Giants bring him back next year, give him a chance to make this team. You know, the play calling, I'm not terribly upset. Maybe just a couple of plays, but, you know, on the defensive side, 14 plays in, 4 minutes 40 seconds, 4 minutes 35 seconds, running out the clock. Come on, guys, you got to make a play. Somebody's got to make a play. We tried to mix it up a little bit on the blitzes, but, you know, maybe one, and I was glad with that. You know, though, those blitzes were somewhat unimaginative.
Len, the point is they did not play three-man rush at a prevent. That's the point. So many teams will in that situation, and they did not.
Except on the last play to Austin, Paul. You know, that was the last one where he rushed three. Now, maybe Perry was trying to surprise the Cowboys by coming up
with
that.
Yeah, but you could do that on one play to mix it up. Again, if you look at that drive, at different times he rushed 3, 4, 5, and 6. On the drive.
I know, I mean,
I don't have a problem with that. What I'm saying is so many teams will immediately go into the three down line shell and sit there for six plays while the other team munches up yards. He didn't do that.
Listen, I hate to keep bringing it up, though, but we did do it on the last play, Paul.
It's one play.
On the last play.
And quite frankly, by that point, I think it was too late anyway. They already gotten across midfield. Come on.
Maybe. And listen, on the offensive side, on the play calling on the offensive side, you know, in the red zone, green zone, whatever you want to call it, look, there were opportunities there. I mean, after Jacobs made that run, the first down play, I mean, two missed blocks on the right side and Brown gets thrown for a 4-yard loss. I mean, like, come on. That play wasn't designed to get a 4-yard loss. That play was designed to score a touchdown. I mean, you gotta execute. Maybe we want to be critical. I don't know what to say. I'm not that upset with the play calling. Maybe we should have run more. Maybe not. Who knows? But I mean, you know, there's execution breakdowns. Hey, Anita, I got a question for you. I was a little concerned at the beginning of the show where you started to talk about your concern, the upcoming schedule. And, you know, in the pit of my belly, I keep thinking, this could spiral out of control, Anita. Is that what you were alluding to?
I don't believe that it's going to spiral out of control. I want to hope that with all that the Washington team is dealing with, that that the Giants at least can win those two games. I'm doubtful that they will be able to travel out west and play a San Diego team. I think that's found new life after beating Kansas City, their division rival, in Arrowhead. Seattle, I think that's just impossible. And then, as I said, you've got Detroit and Green Bay and Chicago all still alive, and they're going to be fighting.
Have they got the fight? And what I'm alluding to, Anita, is have they got the fight in them? You think they got the fight in them?
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's fight for what? There's no postseason. So season's over. When was the last time that this Giants, Paul, you will know this. When was the last time that the Giants season was over at week 12?
You'd have to go back to Coughlin's rookie year, 2004.
Okay. So, I mean, this is a feeling, this is a vibe in this locker room that has not existed for all the guys that not one guy in this locker room has ever experienced that. So,
well,
you know, this isn't the Jacksonville Jaguars. This isn't the Chicago, this isn't the Cleveland Browns. This isn't a team, this isn't a group of guys that are used to playing in this type of situation. So, how do they respond?
Yeah.
We just don't know.
See, that's where I'm afraid it's just going to, this whole thing is going to build, it's going to spiral out of control, and we're going to have this miserable finish to the season. I hope I'm wrong. And listen, I'll be there Sunday night. I'll be cheering for the Giants. Let's go, Giants. Thanks for putting me on the line here. I really do appreciate it. You guys have a great show, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Len. Thank you.
201-939-4513. That's pretty profound. I mean, number one, it says a lot about this organization. I mean, how many organizations can say that?
You're right.
That you know, that they're in it to make it to the postseason for now. How many consecutive years would that be? Then do the math.
Tom's in his 10th year, so 9 years, actually 8 of his 10 years, they've been in contention, because his first year they weren't, and they're not going to be now. So 8 out of his 10 years, they've been in it, and that's really good. I mean, that's why. You know, Anita, I have to say something to you. And you've covered the Ravens and the Dolphins before you covered the Giants.
Right.
And I don't know what your percentage is in terms of how many of those years those teams were in it or out. We've actually never really discussed that. But I know a number of those teams were not in it. It's a weird feeling. And I tell people all the time, the last thing in the world you want are December exhibition games in the NFL. I mean, I've been doing the Giants now for 31 years, and so I've seen those before. They're not fun. They're weird. They're hollow. They really do feel, in a lot of ways, like exhibition games. And they just leave a really bad taste in your mouth. I'll tell you what. I'm going to be greedy. We got the buzz game that I was asking for against Dallas. I'd love to see the Giants beat Washington and San Diego. I think it's asking a lot. But I'd love to see it happen. Because you know why? If the Giants were 6-7 with Seattle coming in here on the 15th, I think there'd be a little buzz about that game. Sure, Seattle's going to come in here as a heavy favorite. Sure, Seattle is probably going to beat them up. And obviously, they're in contention for a Super Bowl. And they'll be thinking about, hey, we might be in this stadium in another 6 weeks or so playing for the Vince Lombardi Trophy. So I get that. But you know what? It'd be a little bit more fun coming to that game if the Giants were 6-7. And it'd be a little bit like a life. It wouldn't be as dead as a doornail. It wouldn't be like a flat case of Pepsi, which it kind of is right now. You know what I mean? I'm greedy, though. I'm asking for another buzz game. Can I get one?
I don't know. This is an organization, this is a locker room who's never been in this situation before.
It's a hard, hard thing to
gauge. And you were in the locker room on Monday.
It wasn't good.
I was not.
It wasn't good.
Okay. Let's continue with our calls. Let's go to Steve calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Same to you, sir.
Hey, listen, guys, man, this is a great one today, man. I have so many great comments. You touched on so much. I just want to say this. You're talking about, I don't know how y'all got on the subject of running backs. I don't like Maurice Jones-Drew. Sorry, Anita. I'd rather have Donald Brown out of the people you guys named. I don't think Maurice Jones-Drew will yield any kind of big contract. I'm really not sure why you think that, but I respectfully disagree. since we're talking about
he feels he's been underpaid by the Jaguars for a lot of years, so he's going to try to cash in. Understand that. I'm not telling you he's worth it. What I'm telling you is he's going to try to cash in.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I just don't think he's going to get it. But, you know, and I just want to talk, you know, because all year long, guys, one thing that I've consistently said is that, you know, running game is really about attitude. And I just think the reason why our running game has turned around is because we're running the ball, period. You know, it was Hillis at first. You know, we started running the ball. I just think that Wilson, I'm sorry he's hurt. I think he could have been just as effective or probably more effective than either Brandon or Andre Brown had we stayed consistently running the ball. Paul, you talked about how Andre Brown is average over 6 yards. I mean, man, he maybe after this last game, but we were like 3.8 yards average. I love the guy. Glad he's on the team. But let's not act like he's a superstar, please. I mean, he's not. And the difference, you know, I'm not surprised you hear it upset my tone is because I blame it on Gilbride. You know, we have to run the ball. That's what we do. It's helped our defense. It's helped our time of possession. It's helped the offensive line look like they're getting better. And we're going to be like, oh, it's because this person's been there. Because no, it's because we're running the ball. Good. And we have to keep the balance. You know, I know you guys are going to have a lot to say about that, but I just think that, you know, the play calling really hurt us. You know, obviously, I don't know if you were listening to the game. I was. Even Troy Aikman, that's all he talked about the whole game. It just seemed like, you know, and it wasn't that bad this week. So I'm not going to come down too bad on Gilbride this week, even though I'm not his fan. I just think that, you know, it just seemed like we were calling runs and we should have been calling plays and vice versa. You know, we had Andre Brown run out of bounds, you know, and stopping the clock, helping these guys. That's coaching. You know, we had, we could have easily gotten in the end zone if Brandon would have cut back in, you know. So I don't really – it just seems like it's been a lot of coaching issues. I mean, we're getting our delay of game calls. You know, Andre Brown goes out looking like he's hurt. When he comes back in, we run the ball. You should have seen the look on his face. Like, come on, not only we run the ball, but we're giving it to Megan. My heart was in my hands thinking this guy's going to get hurt. In my opinion, we should have set Cox down because he's not giving us that much. Bring Hillis in, have Hillis, Brown, and Jacobs, and just run the ball, and I think it would have been a different outcome. But, guys, I have this one last question. Thank you for letting me ramble on. I appreciate it. So I just have this one thing. Carl, I want you to find out, if you don't mind, because I know you're a stats guy, how many times has Eli actually thrown the ball in the end zone in the last 2 years? And you ask me who's Coach Tustin more, Jason Garrett or Kevin Gilbride? Because I can't stand the Cowboys. Not a big Romo fan, but I think a lot of these Giants fans need to get real if they want us to take their comments seriously. Romo is a good quarterback. Come on, guys. I think y'all being way too harsh on him. I mean, he could sit here and say a lot of things about his receivers not knowing his play this and other, but I just think it gives your conversation a little bit more merit if you're a little bit more real. I hate
Steve, I will tell you this. Any given day, I will draft Tony Romo over Eli Manning in fantasy football. But you actually want to win a football game, I want Eli Manning as my quarterback more so than Tony Romo. And I guarantee you that 99.9% of everyone who watches football, analysts who watch football, will say the same thing. It's not a knock. It's not a knock. It is. It is his record. It is what happens when the game is on the line.
I agree with you, Nita.
Okay,
Steve, let me say this.
Sure. Why is it okay for everybody else, every other analyst to say that, but if somebody from the Giants broadcast team says that, then it's us being homers? As I said, I will own Tony Romo in all of my fantasy football leagues over Eli Manning. He puts up a ton of more numbers. He can chuck the rock.
I'm with you, Anita.
He's won me some great fantasy football matchups. I love the guy in fantasy, but I want to win ball games. I'm going with Eli, and there's nothing. That's not a homer decision. I guarantee you, the majority of analysts around the NFL will say the same thing. That's why I don't understand why.
I'm going with our receiving corps because I mean, if you look at it, I see a bunch of balls being thrown up for grabs. And that's all I've been seeing for the last couple of years. I saw one pass where he actually stepped into it. And I love the guy, you know what I mean? Victoria from, you know, Vegas called in, questioned my fanhood. I've been a fan for over 35 years. Love my Giants, you know, like my own kids. And that's why I feel free to criticize when I think that they need to be criticized. But let there be no mistake. The Eli needs to step his game up. I don't want to trade him, and I certainly would rather have him over Romo as well if it comes down to it. But I think our receiving corps, we've had a much better team than they had for 10 years, a much better team. Our receivers have been awesome. We missed Plaxico. We missed having those tall, you know, receivers that he could just throw the ball. But, I mean, I don't know if you could blame it on Linus. Obviously, it's a combination of things, guys. But I certainly don't want to sit here and, you know, spend my time bashing Romo when I'm worried about making my Giants better. And Eli needs to make better decisions. I think we can all agree on that. But, you know, I think, like I said, the team around Eli has been a lot better, and we definitely have been better coached. But, guys, I thank you for taking my call, and, you know, have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well.
You too, Steve.
You as well. Would you like to add anything there?
No, Steve is fired up. I understand him being that way. He's a good fan. He's been obviously pulling for this team for a long time. And I think sometimes we just have to let guys like that vent. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else we can add. And clearly, you know, he's upset about the number of throws Eli's had to the end zone. I'll be honest with you, that's a stat that I don't have, and I don't know that I can get unless I actually, you know, log that every week while I was watching tape, and I haven't. That's not one that I've found to be rather pertinent. But, you know, I understand some displeasure with the play calling on occasion. We've questioned it.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, you are listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're with you for the next, 20, 22 minutes. We have to sign off at 10:30 because we have to get ready for head coach Tom Coughlin's media.
Yes, media session.
There you go. That's what it's called.
Briefing.
Also, Paul's going to check social media in a hot second, so make sure, get any questions or comments, make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat, and we will head to social media in just a minute. Let's head down to Florida. We have Lawrence standing by. Lawrence, welcome.
Hello?
Lawrence, you there?
Guess not.
Okay. Let's go to Justin.
Hello? How are you, Justin?
Is this Justin?
Hey, good morning. How are we doing? A couple points that you guys made, too. I think after watching the Redskins last week against the 49ers, if the Giants don't win that game and the season might tumble into maybe four losses out of the next five games. But the one big game that might be a pickup for the Giants is the Detroit game, considering Detroit might be playing for a playoff spot right there. That might be a spoiler game for the Giants coming, you know, week 16.
Hard to say. I mean, Anita's right. Right now that division is also very clogged, and so you don't know exactly where the Lions are going to stand in 4 weeks, whether or not that game's going to mean much to them. Who knows? If it does, obviously it's a tough spot for the Giants to be in. If it does not, there's no reason why the Giants could not go in there and pull a win out. I mean, Detroit is not that great a team that you'd have to say even par with the Giants in terms of not having much to play for, that they're going to win.
That wasn't the point that I was making. The point that I'm making is that it's a logjam there, okay? I mean, so come December 22nd, I guarantee you that Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit, they're all going to be battling for something. At that point in time, what team is playing for more?
Oh, the odds are Detroit's going to be in a playoff fight at that point,
exactly.
Which puts them in advantage.
Right.
But
that was my point.
Oh, I totally understood that. But what I'm saying to you is it's also possible that the Lions hit the skids and somehow, some way, they wind up two games out of their race and maybe the game isn't as relevant as you think it might be. That's all I'm saying. It's possible.
Why don't we check social media before we head back out to our calls?
L. Mortensen 1 says, smart plays have been few and far between for this team this season. And one Hillside says, safe to assume Akeem Nicks is no longer a Giant after this season, ? I don't know what to assume right now with Akeem Nicks. I'm very perplexed by the whole thing. I do think that, you know, clearly his value, not only with the Giants, but around the league, is way down. And that's got to take, part of the equation up, because this is a guy who, you know, really wants to, you know, hit it big on his second contract. And I don't think he's going to hit it nearly as big as he wants to, regardless of where it is. Those are the only two Giants chat items we have on Twitter. I will tell you the pre-practice injury report is out. Jacobs with a knee, McBride with a groin, Nicks with an abdomen, JPP with a shoulder, Thomas with his knee, and Webster with his ankle are the six guys listed as of this morning. And so we'll check their status as we get out to the practice field.
Again, I don't know anything, but my gut's telling me that Hakeem Nicks does not come back next year. My gut is telling me that Hakeem Nicks is on another team next year. Just based on lack of performance that we've seen so far this season and the fact that he was inactive, I think says a lot. And that's sad for me to say because Hakeem Nicks is probably one of my favorite guys in this locker room. But I do see the Giants moving in a different direction.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could definitely see that. And it's too bad because he was that missing ingredient that the Giants lost when Plaxico Burress had shot himself in the leg and wound up ending what could have been a very exciting and longer-term Giants career. Nicks was the guy who was going to fill that void. Amani Toomer had retired. Plaxico was off the team. They needed somebody to do that, and Nicks was the guy.
Here's a list of some free agent wide receivers that are going to be available at the end of this year. As we know, Hakeem Nicks, Anquan Boldin. I think he shuts it down. I think he retires after this season, Anquan Boldin. My own personal opinion. Eric Decker, Kenny Britt, Jeremy Maclin, who'll be coming off of ACL injury, James Jones, and Golden Tate. Just to name a few wide receivers, I think, that are making noise this year and coming into this season will be free agents.
James Jones is intriguing to me.
He's a guy, you know, I work with Randall Cobb on Bleacher Report. And so Randall Cobb and I have had several conversations about James Jones. And he's utilized how Mario Manningham was utilized here. That's how James Jones is utilized in Green Bay. So when you look at James Jones' stats, he's usually targeted maybe five times with three catches for 112 yards. And a touchdown. Yeah, because he's the guy that stretches the field.
Right.
And Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are used as intermediate guys.
And that's why I think he could be a fit here, because if Reuben Randall is going to continue to develop and mature and be the big guy opposite Cruz,
right,
Jones would fit.
Absolutely. Randall Cobb loves him. Loves him. Thinks he's like his favorite teammate.
Okay, so get working on this for me.
Okay. Let's go to Ann in D.C. Ann, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. How are you?
Hi, good morning, and happy Thanksgiving.
You too,
same
Ann.
To you.
And remember, I live in Virginia, and I work in Washington. But I did have to call to address the guy named Steve. Steve needs to stop it. He's an Eli Manning hater. And I'm going to be truthful here. Tony Romo is not better than Eli Manning. He has better weapons around him. I call it as I see it. Jason Witten, he is a Hall of Famer. And let me be clear, since Tom Coughlin got here, I don't want to hear about Plaxico. Plaxico Burress came out of Pittsburgh. He was trained by Bill Cowher. Amani Toomer, he came out of a system with Jim Fossil, or whoever the guy that was there before Jim Fossil. Everyone who has come in under Tom Coughlin's regime, they don't get development, and they're soft, okay? And Hakeem Nicks, he's not producing this year for whatever reason.
Whoa, Ann, hold on. Hold on. You're going to know, but you're going to make me stop you. You just said something that I have to stop you at. Do you think Victor Cruz is soft?
Yes.
Victor Cruz is soft?
Look, is he a Larry Fitzgerald? No, he's not. Is he a guy like the guy up in Houston? No.
He's Jersey tough. Come on. He's not 6'5".
Can I finish? Let me finish. And let me tell you, in Washington, the media is sitting there saying Shanahan should be fired and take his son with him. He hasn't been here as long as Coughlin. I'm saying, Tom, you know I feel Coughlin needs to go. He's just too old. And on offense, the offense is so stagnant because he has Kevin Gilbride. The Gilbride is about 70, and now his son is there. And since his son has come there, those receivers have gotten worse. And let me say this much. Dallas has always been about a high-powered offense, ever since the days of Troy Aikman. I don't care if you go back to my father's head, Roger Staubach, they had Drew Pearson, Preston. They've always been high-powered. Because let me tell you now, Bennett was not good enough for Dallas. They cut him. They made him sit behind Witten. But when he came up to the Giants, you all thought he was Jesus Christ walk on water. He wasn't. Dallas has always put priority on a high-powered offense, and Romo is surrounded by better talent.
And how many Super Bowls have the Cowboys won in the last 20 years?
The Giants will go get someone like Jernigan.
Come on.
No, I'm just saying. The Giants will go get someone like Jernigan, who is not really NFL caliber. And then Kevin Gilbride is still sitting in a system from the 1970s, running three receivers. You must incorporate the tight end in your game. Coughlin has not produced, and I'm saying from Jacksonville and now on the Giants, he has no Hall of Famers. He hasn't produced, and I'm factual because I'm an accountant. I'm analytical.
Eli Manning's not going to the Hall of Fame?
Not with
really?
Those numbers. Let me tell you,
Eli
look,
Manning's
don't get
not
me
going
started.
To the Hall of Fame?
Look, I'm an Eli fan. Don't get me started. This boy was born with a football in his hands from 2 years old. Do you know what Sonny Jurgensen, do you know what Joe Montana and them have been saying about what Coughlin and Gilbride have done to that guy's career up there? You don't want to hear it. I'll tell you. They said he's ruined. You know, Sonny Jurgensen says that all the time. I'm in Redskin territory. I'm just being honest. I'm telling you. If he was in a Bruce Arians offense where they use those tight ends, he would have a rejuvenated career like Carson Palmer's having. They use those small receivers, and they're not physical enough. Gilbride has to go, and you know how I feel. Coughlin got out coached by a younger coach, a quarterback, a guy who used to play quarterback.
Anita does not want me to get upset with you, so I won't.
And thank you for the phone call.
But I'm going to
Yeah, you've been raising your voice way too much today for me. It's still early. It's early.
When Eli had Burris and Toomer here, two big go-get-em physical receivers, those were the years when he really broke out and took it to another level. And then obviously won his first Super Bowl. I don't know what else I can say except that over the course of time, you know, when he's had those types of players, much like any other great quarterback will, they will take advantage of them and enhance their numbers. When you have a receiving core that is either developing or not as talented, or when you have an offensive line that is not as good as it needs to be, those numbers tend to suffer. I don't know what else to say. I mean, a quarterback's performance is not isolated in a box. I mean, Anita, I don't... Ann's a good fan. She obviously loves her football, but you can't isolate the quarterback's performance in a box and just say that, you know, Eli Manning's been ruined, Eli Manning is this and he's that. When he's had the opportunity to succeed, he has.
A few things. And again, we're only on for a few more minutes, and I do want to get as many callers in as we can. Number one, I disagree with Ann. I do believe Eli Manning is what he's done to... two Super Bowl MVPs. He's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not. He's going to be in Canton. I don't. But number two, I would like to see this system, Gilbride's system, kind of advance a little bit.
Tweaked, as we've talked about many times.
Open it up a little bit. Change it. I mean, the NFL is changing. And I would like to see the system change as well. And more importantly, Eli needs an offensive line. I mean, and that's not Tom Coughlin's fault. That's the organization has not really put a big emphasis on drafting or bringing in top-notch offensive linemen in free agency. So, you know, Eli is not working with a top-notch offensive line in the NFL, and that's not Tom Coughlin's fault. That's not Eli's fault. So,
you could not have run the marathon in these boots if you don't have the proper tools. You can't necessarily get it done.
Great analogy. Let's take as many callers as we can because we do have to pop off as soon as possible to get ready for Tom Coughlin, his press conference at 11. Let's go to Ed in Houston. Ed, got to make it quick, my friend.
All right. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
As I was sitting here on hold, you're welcome. As I was sitting here on hold, I thought, Lord, please don't let me have to follow Ann in D.C. And that's exactly what happened. Hey, with the Dallas game, do you think the Giants was so successful running the ball between the 20s primarily because Dallas was willing to let the Giants run between the 20s? Mm-hmm. And then what they were going to do is load up on the receivers, get the pressure on Eli, and not be beaten by the passing game. And maybe that's why the Giants ran so well.
No. The Giants ran for 200 yards on Sunday primarily because Sean Lee was out of the lineup, and that leaves a gaping hole between the tackles for that Dallas defense, and the Giants took advantage of it. They did what they had to do in terms of running the ball. I wish they had run the ball more.
Let's go to Chris in New Jersey. Chris, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
I'll make it quick. And I'm speechless after that two calls ago. Unbelievable. Anita, I'll agree with you. You know, Romo, he makes some bonehead plays, but I'll tell you, he's athletic, and it's the broken plays that scares you about him. You know, case in point, I forgot if he completed the pass, but that one bad snap went over his head. He got a great bounce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the type of plays you see Romo always turn around and make a big gain. And then my second point is, to both of you, is I wanted to see Connor a little bit more blocking. I know in that short yardage play where Andre Brown was stopped. I mean, I was surprised that Connor wasn't in there. And I just know when he was in there, they were just moving the pile.
Agreed. And
Thanks, that's the case, Chris.
Where the Giants don't always want to telegraph their plays, and so sometimes they are going to change personnel deployment. But I understand your point.
And that's it. And we thank you so much for tuning in. I know today got a little heated, but that's a good thing. It makes for an entertaining show, as long as we can make sure that that Paul Dottino's decibel level remains below a certain number, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, again, stay tuned. 11 a.m., head coach Tom Coughlin, he'll address the media. Practice players made available a little bit later on this afternoon. Hopefully we'll hear from Hakeem Nicks. And we will have a ton more to discuss tomorrow on the program. So make sure you tune in 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time right here on Giants.com. Have a great day, everybody.